Well, hello there, Ledge Rock Community Church, friends and family scattered all across this great nation. I don't know if we have any international viewers, so if you're from a different country, be sure to comment and let us know that you're watching, even if it's after this has been recorded. So anyway, good morning, happy Sunday to all of you. The week after Easter, Easter is always the grandest day of the entire year, and the week after sometimes can be the lowest, the worst Sunday of the year. And so today, let's make today just as good as Easter. We're celebrating the resurrection every Sunday. It doesn't matter which day or which week of the year that may be. I am glad for you to join us here today, to join with me as we worship the Lord and share in His Word together. So a couple of things I just want to kind of talk about before we get into today's message. And first of all, is at the end of today's sermon, we're going to observe the Lord's Supper together. Hopefully you're part of our email chain and you got the email last night to be ready. But if you didn't, or if you forgot about it or whatever, take the time right now to go into your cabinet, get into the pantry, whatever, and grab some sort of a piece of bread, whether it's actual bread or a cracker. I have a Cheerio. That's what I'm going to use here today. And I have a drink mix, some juice here that I'm going to use for when I observe the Lord's Supper with you. So the point is, the elements aren't the key. Our heart is the key. And the Lord wanted us to remember Him by breaking bread and sharing in the cup together. The bread and the cup aren't that essential. So grab something to drink. Grab your cinnamon roll, grab your donut, whatever, your coffee, and just be ready at the end of today's service. So man, do I miss you guys. This preaching to a camera thing, I mean, Chris does a fantastic job of getting all this set up, but oh, is it not the same? And I am enough of an extrovert that boy, do I miss you guys. I thank you for some of you reaching out and encouraging me during this challenging time. So thank you for those of you that have done that. I definitely thrive on your words and your encouragement. Thank you. And just know that, man, I love you guys and I miss you. And I'm so looking forward to when we can all get back together. And hopefully that's sooner rather than later. So we'll see. And also, I got a very scary text from Dick Larson this morning. Dick is our worship coordinator, temporarily serving and helping us in worship, and he's one of our spiritual oversight team leaders. And Dick was down at Carol Larson's father passed away, and his funeral service was Thursday, at least what they could do during these crazy times. And so please remember the Larson family, and especially Carol and her family, as they lost her father during this time. But while Dick was at the funeral, he started losing vision in his left eye. And long story short, he lost more and more of it, got in to see the doctor, and he has a detached retina. And they're going to do surgery at 7:30 tomorrow morning on Dick's retina. So please remember to pray for him and the doctor and the tools they're going to use to repair that. Pray for him and the surgeon during that time, and let's see exactly how God can bring about some amazing healing during this time. So please remember him. I want to thank you guys for your continued faithfulness in giving during this time. I know it's not as easy. Maybe it's not even as much of a priority as it has been when you're coming to the facilities to worship. But a lot of you have really stepped up and embraced this challenging time and been very faithful, mailing in your checks and even going online, going to our website and going through the prompts to give online. Some have chosen to give just monthly, an ongoing gift, which makes it very simple. And you'll be credited for all of that and receive your, you know, your tax break at the end of the year. So either way, just thank you for what you've done during these challenging times. Know that the work, the ministry, the benevolence, the need is still there. So your faithful giving is certainly appreciated. And I just want to congratulate you and thank you. Here at Ledge Rock, we have an amazing group of folks and some amazing givers. So thank you very much. And God bless you for that. I think that's basically it for now. I wanted to just take a couple minutes and sort of chat, break the ice. I hope that as you're watching, you're connecting down below in the comments. We come online early so that you can come online and begin to greet each other and say hello. And we're going to stay online at the end for as long as you guys need to continue to comment and encourage each other. So know that the live stream will continue for 5 or even 10 minutes or whatever at the end. So feel free to stay on and keep connecting. We all miss that. I can sense a higher level of frustration with this whole social distancing isolation thing. And so again, as we pray for and through this time, I just can't wait to get back together and imagine that celebration we're going to have when we do get back together. So again, thank you for your encouragement, your participation, and coming along with us during this time. Speaking of service and preaching and sermons and all of that, a lot of you have really shared with me how meaningful some of God's messages have been since we've come here, and I'm very thankful for that. And it's one of the ways, I guess, that God has gifted and equipped me is in sharing His Word in an enthusiastic way, and hopefully in a understandable way that makes God's Word applicable to all of our lives. And one of the things that I've noticed after services, a lot of times people come up to me and they just share their excitement of what God did in them during the sermon time. It's been fun. It's fun afterwards to hear so much encouragement, so much excitement about whatever God spoke through me that day. But then what I've noticed is if you talk to someone later on that day, or heaven forbid, later on that week or a week later, no matter how important or how moving God's sermon was that Sunday morning, something happens after the delivery, after service is over, something happens where people tend to forget what God had done earlier that morning, earlier that week. And I've narrowed it down. I think I've come up with the solution for what happens, and it's called lunch. I think people leave church all excited, God spoke, convicted, moved, ready for a deeper level of faith and obedience, and they go out or go home and they eat lunch, and something happens miraculously, supernaturally during lunch that suddenly changes everything that God did. They forget everything that happened and it's all gone, and they start back at ground zero. So my encouragement for all of you is don't eat lunch. Never eat lunch again, and then we will perhaps remember a little bit better. Honestly, it's, of course, I'm joking around, but something happens. We forget so easily. And now this sermon series alone is over, and I'm probably just like you, and I'm glad for the series. I'm glad it's over. We probably never want to hear the word alone ever again. That was long enough. So believe me, I'm not going to go back through that, but the series of Alone is over. And I did hear a lot of really encouraging words from you guys. And so I guess the question that we have to ask ourselves is, now what? So all that God did, all that He spoke, all that He revealed to us during that time, now what? What do we do with all that information? And I'm very convicted that you and I, maybe more than ever, need to remember. We need to remember what God spoke, what God did, how God had begun working in our lives. Now, memory is super important. Forgetting, like the other day, one of my family members had an appointment and forgot to set their alarm, and they woke up about 30 minutes late and suddenly jerked awake, ran upstairs to, I mean, everything was super rushed. They got there late. It's a mess. And all of us have forgotten things. Nobody likes to forget. I mean, you forget to take your medication, you forget a doctor's appointment, or heaven forbid, you forgot a haircut appointment right before this COVID hit and all the barbershops and beauty salons closed, and now you look like a hippie from the 70s. The point is, forgetting is bad. Nobody likes to forget. Remembering is good. Remembering is super valuable. Every employer loves an employee that remembers, that takes their job seriously and gets tasks accomplished. Nobody is sad to have a great or a better memory. You teachers out there, you parents that are homeschooling or schooling your kids now from home, you can appreciate it when your kids learn something and then they remember what they learned. The point is, forgetting is bad and remembering is good. And so, would you like to have a better memory? I think all of us would. I know for me, I have to make notes. Man, my desk is full of notes. I put sticky notes down, I write in a notebook, I make lists of things, and then I check them off or else I forget. It's hard. So today is going to be about each of us learning to have a better memory, especially when it pertains to God, to who He is and what He's done. So we're going to be in the book of Deuteronomy today in chapter 6. And I didn't list particular verses because we're going to be kind of all over the place, all throughout the 6th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. So find that book. It's the 5th book in your Bibles from the very front: Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is the final book in the Torah or the Pentateuch, the first 5 books written by Moses. So we're going to be in Deuteronomy 6, and I'm going to begin in verse 12 today, just this one verse to get us started, and then we're going to cover a lot more ground. So join me, follow along as I read God's word to you, and if you don't have a copy, then just listen. Let me read to you. Verse 12 says, "Be careful not to forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the place of slavery." Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word and for your reminder to remember you in the midst of our busyness, our daily lives. And Lord, I pray that you will take the message you've given me, this idea on how to better help our memories, to take this idea and really preach it and speak it through me this morning, clearly and boldly. Lord, help each of us to ingest this, to claim this word and your message and better understand it and then apply it to our lives. So Father, clear out our minds and the stresses of this week and help each of us to better hear your voice and then apply it to our lives. Father, I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the whole idea of, well, just following Jesus is so much more difficult when we're apart. It's better when we are together. We are so much stronger when we're together. And so this is even more challenging, but the situation we're in, as we're told to stay at home, to isolate, to be there with our families, honestly, it's the perfect setting for what we're about to go through and explain. So the first thing that you and I have to know to have a better memory, especially when it pertains to God and who He is and what He's done, is that we need to know what it is that we're supposed to know. What are we supposed to know and remember? And verse 12 says it pretty succinctly. It says, "Be careful not to forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the place of slavery." Now, of course, here in this book of Deuteronomy, well, let me just set the stage real quick. So Deuteronomy was Moses's final, it's a series of speeches that Moses gave to the Israelites as Moses was preparing to die and the Israelites were preparing to cross the Jordan River and head into the promised land with the new leader, Joshua, taking over. And God was speaking through Moses to remind his people who they were, that they were to be set apart and different than all these pagan nations that already lived in the land that they were about to go over and possess. And so God spelled out very clearly his rules, his regulations, all the laws and everything that they were supposed to do so that they weren't part of this pagan culture and so that they looked different. Now, it wasn't successful. Of course, God knew that his people would rebel and ultimately leading to the need for Jesus to come and pay the penalty for our rebellion and for our sins. So the Israelites, God's chosen people, their hearts were hardened. They were distracted. And maybe more importantly than anything, they forgot. They forgot who God was, and they forgot what God had done, and they started to worship other gods, foreign gods, false gods that these pagan nations already worshiped in their land. So this word from God through Moses was to challenge and encourage God's people to be sanctified, to be set apart, and it's extremely important for the Lord. It's important to the Lord for his people to remember who he is and what he had done for them, the deliverance that he had given them out of slavery, out of the land of Egypt, through the wilderness for 40 years. It's important for God's people to remember what God had told them and done for them. So that's the Israelites back then. What about you and I? What about you and I here today? So, first of all, God has to have actually done something in your life. For you and I to remember what God did, he has to have actually done something in you personally, not through me, not through your family members. I've seen folks that want to live through the faith of their spouse or through their pastor or their leaders, their deacons or elders or whatever. I've seen folks that don't really have much of a testimony other than what God's done in someone else's life. So for you and I to remember what God did for us, he has to have actually done something in you personally, something in the past, maybe, and even better, something in the present, something that God is doing right now or did last week or did yesterday, and then look forward to what God is going to do in the future. And that's just as important as what God did in the past. The clearer our memory and understanding of what God did in the past leads to a stronger anticipation by faith in what God is going to do in the future. Now, I've asked for some suggestions, some ideas for some sort of an idea for a couple of weeks where I sit down and go through either like little mini sermons over questions or topics that you may have. And I encourage you, if you haven't yet, reach out to me with those ideas, especially maybe a lost family member or lost friend, questions that they have asked you or questions that you don't know the answer to, things like that, or something that I'm just sort of considering the idea, what that might look like. And one of the things that I got was, well, God's never spoken to me. God's never done anything in my life. And so I want to take a moment and address that. What if you're watching today and God has never done anything in your life? You don't have anything to remember. So what if that's you? What if you've never experienced God? Well, first of all, you need to remember, and by the way, you're not alone. There are time periods that I go through where I feel like God isn't speaking. He's not moving. God, where did you go? And it's easy during those times to get distracted and for my faith to waver. So no, if that's you, you're not alone. You're not alone at all. In fact, we learned, if nothing, through the last 8 weeks, you are never ever alone. You're not alone in that idea that maybe God hasn't done a lot in your life. So here you go. What do you have to do? Remember what you've heard. Remember what you've heard from me, what you've heard from others, from other women during the women's Bible study, from other men during spiritual conversations. If you've not experienced God yourself, remember what you've heard God did for other people and remember that. Remember the stories of what God has done. Remember sermons that you've heard, great and marvelous, brilliant, spectacular sermons that you've heard me preach here in the last 4 months or so. Remember those things. Remember what you've read in God's Word. Now, if you are sitting there at home and you are blaming God for not speaking into your life and you are not putting any time into trying to hear his voice by reading some scripture, doing devotions, and spending some time in prayer, then you're not going to hear God's voice very clearly. I'm not going to say that he can't speak to you, because he certainly can. But the challenge is, the point is, remember what you've read, maybe what you just read that day during your scripture time and your devotion time. Remember what you have heard from others, what you've heard from the pulpit, what you've heard from past stories, and then pray hard by faith for God to do those things in your life. Get alone, get quiet, claim those things you've heard, you've seen, you've read about, you've observed, whatever. Claim those things and pray hard for God to do that in your life, to be who he says he is, to be who he has been to others. Pray hard for God to speak to you that way, to do all those things that he did for others. Now, for me, I'm not immune to this. I sometimes struggle with God, where are you? God, why won't you do what I'm asking? Why won't you speak like I want? And so for me, when I'm being challenged spiritually, I need to remember back to my call to ministry. What was God doing in my life as he convicted me of sin, cleaned up my life even further than he already had been, and then ultimately called me to preach his word and to serve him by ministering to the local church? I need to fall back on that sometimes. And then my call to specific places and ministries, like here. What a miraculous call God did in calling me here to Ely and to Ledge Rock Community Church. So when I'm challenged and going through difficult times, I can look back at these couple of things. My call to ministry, my call to here, or whatever the mission trip or task it may be. And I can recall those things and then mull them over. And the point is, for you and I to have a better memory on who God is and what he's done, he has to have actually done something in your life. Now, the second thing is, how do we go about remembering? How do we remember all the things that God has done? And this is the magic formula for you and I to have a better memory. Here it is, verse 6 through 9. I'm going to be scrolling all over through my scriptures today, and it's hard with my low vision, so bear with me. But verse 6, the scripture says, "These words that I am giving you today are to be in your heart. Repeat them to your children. Talk about them when you sit in your house and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Bind them as a sign on your hand and let them be a symbol on your forehead. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your city gates." So for you and I to remember, this is the magic formula that will help us to remember. So you've heard me talk about, I love camping, and I really do, especially in the Boundary Waters. Canoe tripping, you can take more stuff with you. And I like to take rope and do cool things with the rope, from hanging a tarp to hanging a clothesline, and the tying up bow lines and tying the canoe up at night so it doesn't blow away in a freak storm that rolls up. The point is, there's no such thing as knowing too many knots. And so typically before a Boundary Waters trip, I would watch some videos and freshen up on my knots. And when I would head out into the wilderness, I can remember all these knots, different knots for different situations, from bowline knots to sheet bend knots, truckers hitches, and things like that. And so when I go out there, I can do all these cool knots, and then I go home, and after a short time, I forget all those knots that I had spent so much time trying to remember. And I know the key, for me at least, and I believe for you as well, is to keep those things forefront in our mind. And one of the keys to that is keeping them in our heart. The scripture says in verse 6, it's these things that I am giving you, the commands that God is speaking to his people, these things I am giving you today are to be in your heart. I can't overstress the value of our heart. I had a good conversation with a brother this week, and the bottom line is that God is interested in our hearts. He's not interested in our actions, our giving, whatever. He's interested in our heart. when our hearts are right, it leads to those things, the giving and the doing. It leads to a worship and a life of loving the Lord and loving others. But the point is, actions without the heart, those actions are worthless. The heart leads to good and true and proper actions. And so the heart, your and I's heart, is absolutely key. You want to know how to better remember who God is and what God has done? Ingest all of that deep into our hearts. What comes out of our mouth is the overflow and abundance of our hearts. Where our heart is then where our actions will be. So you and I need to have these things. These words that I'm giving you today are to be in your heart. Let God's reality, God's presence, God's truth, God's actions, let those things first and foremost be in your heart. That will lead to so many of these other things then. So the key is our heart. Look at verse 7. Repeat them to your children. Talk about them when you sit in your house and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. So verse 4 and 5 are some of the most important verses in all of Scripture. And verse 4 of Deuteronomy says, "Listen, O Israel, obey, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one." One God, one true God. The God of Israel is the single God, the true God of all of creation. And then verse 5 says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." That's called the Shema. To the Jewish people, recite that a couple of times a day. Some of their most important words are reminding themselves continually throughout the day that the Lord God, that He is God, and that He is one. One God, of course, we know, made up of three equal parts, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit, but that there is just truly one God, and that then we are to love God with our heart and soul and strength and mind. That's called the Shema. What if you and I were to continually remind ourselves and remember that the Lord God is one, and then repeat that to our children, to each other, to our spouses, to our neighbors, to our brothers and sisters on social media? What about right now, as you're joining us live, streaming, that you could comment down below? What if you and I were to continually remember and repeat who God is and what He's done to our children and each other, to talk about Him and what He's done when we sit down in our houses, when we get up and walk around on the streets, when we lie down at night, and when we wake up in the morning? The point is, it's all inclusive during all of our life. It's not so much that we lie down and wake up or walk or sit or whatever. It's all the areas in between. If you want to have a better memory to remember who God is and what He's done, have Him in your heart and talk about what He's done continually, and you will not forget. You will not forget. Look at the next verses, 8 and 9. Verse 8 says, "Bind them as a sign on your head and let them be a symbol on your forehead." Verse 9, "Write them on the doorpost of your house and on your city gates." So I got to go to Israel several years ago. It was an amazing experience to go on a biblical tour of Israel and see the places throughout history, throughout the Old Testament, and go to Jerusalem and see where Jesus actually walked and places that might have been where the crucifixion could potentially have occurred in an empty tomb that would have been like one that Jesus would have been temporarily buried in before He defeated sin and death forever and was gloriously resurrected. Praise be to God. The point is, I got to go to Israel, and every doorway you go through, especially in the hotels, there's these little, probably mostly plastic, little vials, if you will, that are anchored to the doorposts and above the door, whatever, and they're called mezuzahs. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, but inside them is a little scroll with the words from Deuteronomy 6 and Deuteronomy 11, where God challenged His people to remember who he is and what he's done, to talk about him, and then to write those things down above their doorposts and like tattoos on their foreheads. And so they've taken it literally and actually put those words above their doorposts. And I tried to buy one through Amazon. And would you believe me if I said it was available if we ordered it within 8 hours? So I left the office, went home, and got ready to order it. And by the time I got home, it wasn't available until like Tuesday this coming week. So I wasn't able to buy one. But picture, you can look it up, a mezuzah, little bitty. Yeah, they come in different sizes, but little plastic deal inlaid with gold and silver and whatever. They can be quite ornate. But the point is, in it is God's word and his challenge to remember who he is and what he's done. So what about you and I? What if you and I perpetually, continually talked about God when we lay down, when we wake up, when we walk, and when we sit? If we took his word and posted it on our doorways and had it like a tattoo, don't actually tattoo. Well, if you want, go ahead and tattoo something on yourself and then show me. That would be super awesome. You don't have to tattoo it. The point is, but you can if you want to. Not that there's anything wrong with that. Anyway, don't comment that you're against tattoos. Just leave that alone. That was just a joke. Anyway, where was I? All right. Have God's word as a part of your being, and it will help you and I both. Remember, the key is, and always was and always will be, to know God in your heart, to know what he's done in your heart, to claim it in your heart, to remember it in your heart, to walk and talk, to live out who God is and what he has done, to talk about him with others, to talk about him with your kids, talk about him with each other, talk about him all the time, everywhere you go, to share who he is and what he's done with each other, to live out who he is and what he's done with each other, and then repeat. Repeat that over and over and over, and I guarantee you, you will not forget who God is and what he has done. You and I have to have experienced God. We have to have encountered him and lived it out. We have to then talk about him, own him in our heart, live those things out day in, day out, over and over. And then why is it that we're supposed to do these things? Well, look at verse 10. Look at the next verse. When the Lord your God brings you into the land that he swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that he would give you, a land with large and beautiful cities that you did not build, houses full of every good thing that you did not fill them with, cisterns that you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant. And when you eat and are satisfied, be careful not to forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the place of slavery. Fear the Lord your God, worship him, and take your oaths in his name. Why is it that you and I are supposed to remember God and who he is and what he's done? I especially like verse 13. The beginning of it, let's just look at the beginning. It says, fear the Lord your God. And that word fear is misunderstood. The point is, what happens when we remember who God is and what he's done, and we talk about him in our life with our kids and each other, it leads to fear of the Lord. And now hear me. Fear, that biblical fear that this is talking about, is not fear like teeth chattering, like you are afraid of something, like heights or public speaking or clowns or snakes or spiders or whatever. That's not what the Bible's talking about here. The fear that the scriptures are talking about is a level of awe before a holy and perfect God. Biblical fear of God is a level of respect that goes far beyond respect for an office or a position. It's an absolute reverence that just changes your very being. So you and I, why are we supposed to remember who God is and what he's done? Why are we to remember our experiences and encounters with the Spirit of God in our lives? It's because it produces fear of him, reverence and awe and respect, because that's what he deserves. Quite frankly, that's what he is worthy of. The more you know about who God is, the more you've experienced God, the more that produces fear in your life. The next thing is it produces obedience. Look clear down at verse 17. Carefully observe the commands of the Lord your God, the decrees and statutes that he has commanded you. When you and I remember who God is and what he's done, it leads to obedience in our lives. The more we encounter him, the more we experience him, the more we remember him, the more that leads to obedience in our lives. For you or I to hear God's voice, whether it's through his word, whether it's in times of prayer, or whether it's just simply that still small voice as he speaks into our lives, the bottom line is for you or I to hear his voice and then not do it is absolutely sin. God has blessed Teresa and I with four amazing children. So I am a father of four, and one of my primary tasks as a father is to raise up my children to know and love and serve the Lord, and then to be productive citizens of the United States of America, to understand work and honesty and values and core principles. And so I try to pour into my kids. And one of the things that I stress over and over and over with them is the need for obedience. As they're young, they may not understand what their mother or I have told them to do. It may not make sense to them at the time, but I try to train up my kids to go past what they think and feel, that it doesn't make sense to them, but to trust me and to simply obey. I try to teach, I'll be honest, just blind obedience. When I say it, you do it. And let me be honest, as a dad, there's nothing that warms, well, there's a few things that warm my heart, you know, that wake up in the morning and run and jump on your lap and hug you. That warms my heart for sure. But few things warm my heart as much as watching my kids trust me and obey what I have told them to do simply because they think that I must be right and it must be for their own good, even when it doesn't make sense. And they just go out and do it. What an amazing thing for a kid to do for their parents. And let me tell you, our Father in heaven, Abba, Father, he is absolutely overjoyed. He rejoices when his children are obedient, when you and I do what he has told us to do, when we love him with our heart and soul and strength, and we love others like that. When you and I are obedient, it brings joy to his heart. Love and serve and share with each other, serving each other because of our relationship with Jesus, giving to the work of the Lord, giving to each other, going all over the world with the name of Jesus together. Just obedience brings joy to your own life, to the lives of your church family, and ultimately to God our Father. Why should you and I remember who God is and what he's done? Earlier, the first thing I said was that it would bring fear into our lives, awe and respect. The other thing it does is it removes fear from our lives. Now, this is the true fear, fear that brings anxiety into your life, not that reverence and respect, but knowing and remembering who God is and what he's done removes fear from our lives. And let me tell you, brothers and sisters, there is nothing honoring of the Lord when you and I live a life in fear, when we live like God isn't who he said he was and that he can't do what he said he will do. There's nothing honoring in that. Knowing and remembering God removes fear from our lives. The next thing it does is it leads to worship in our lives. Look back at verse 13. Verse 18 says, "Fear the Lord your God, worship him, and take your oaths in his name." knowing and remembering God and who He is and what He's done leads to worship, leads to joyfully giving worth back to God for who He is and because of what He has done. Worship is adding value to our God. It's praising our God for who He is and what He's done and what He is going to do in the future. Don't ever forget that. I don't know about you, but for me, sometimes I can be guilty of living in the flesh. I think in America, we struggle with this perhaps more than maybe most other countries throughout the world because we are so richly blessed. It's easy to fall into the trap of looking at our bank account or our new car or truck or whatever it is and thinking, huh, I did that. I bought that. I provided that. Look at me. Look at the good things, the good work. Look at how much I have done. It's easy for me to fall into that trap and forget that God is the giver of all things that are good, that everything I have came from the Lord. It came from Him and Him alone. For you and I to forget that is simply prideful. For you and I to take God for granted, to not thank Him for what He's done, for you and I to think that somehow our goodness and our skill and our intelligence was responsible for our blessings is absolutely prideful. And that's sin. That's sinful. You and I, as we remember who God is and what He's done, it leads to worship, giving value and worth to our God because of who He is, how great and majestic and wonderful He is. As you and I remember how He's spoken to us through sermons, through scripture, through prayer, through encountering Him in other people's lives, and then in our own, we can joyfully celebrate the victory that you and I have in Jesus and in Jesus alone. Last week, we celebrated the resurrection, Jesus overcoming sin and death forever. And I talked about the reality of simply putting our faith and trust in Him and Him alone leads to a life of repentance and experiencing God's grace and His mercy. That's what it means to be born again and changed. However, if a person chooses, you can reject God and reject His love. And if so, you will experience an eternity alone, separated from God and all that is good. So you and I need to remember and live a life that is full of joy and love because of God and who He's done. And if you want to remember more clearly who God is, then talk about Him at night. Talk about Him when you wake up. Talk about Him with your kids. Talk about Him with each other. And that leads to a clear, celebratory reminder on who our God is. And that will lead other people to put their faith and trust in Jesus. There's one final reason that you and I need to remember God and remember who He is, remember His greatness and His glory. Look at the last verse of the chapter 6. And it says, it's verse 25, it says, righteousness will be ours if we are careful to follow every one of these commands before the Lord our God as He has commanded us. Brothers and sisters, friends and family, the bottom line is if God has worked in your life, you have given your life to Jesus, it leads to obedience. James said, be doers of the word and not hearers only. Faith without works is dead. Jesus said that He and others will know true believers by our fruit, by our obedience. The bottom line is that you and I are called to obey God and everything that He has commanded, and then make other disciples and teach them to obey. So if we do that, as we follow the Lord and love the Lord and serve the Lord, it says righteousness will be ours. If we are careful to follow every one of these commands as we love God and obey Him before the Lord God, whatever He has commanded us, you and I, our righteousness is not imputed on us or imparted onto us by our works. It is strictly by God's grace through our faith. However, the world can see the grandeur of our God by our obedience, and righteousness will spread through our lives and throughout this world strictly by us remembering. Don't eat lunch. Don't forget what God has done. Don't let it slip away. That's the work of the enemy. The birds of the devil come and peck those seeds away. So what do we do now that alone is over, that all of this has happened, we're not able to get together? What about you and I remembering? Remembering together, remembering who our God is, what He's done in our lives, and celebrating what He's going to do in the future. Praise be to God. Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we come to You this day, and Lord, I am so thankful for who You are and what You've done in my life, and I pray that You forgive me for forgetting so often and so easily all that You have done, and sometimes just simply living in my flesh and looking so much like the world instead of You. And Father, I pray that You will take this message and You will truly help each of us to live it out and to implement some new steps into our lives with our families during this crazy time as we're stuck at home and isolated and distant. May this be the time when we truly speak about You more than ever and share with each other that You will be highly exalted, leading to new levels of fear and respect and awe and obedience and worship because You are truly worthy. In Jesus' name, I pray all that. Amen. All right, so now, as I said earlier, we're going to take the Lord's Supper together. Now, one of the complaints I've heard during this time is that we just simply miss being together. We miss being together, worshiping together, breaking bread together, praying together. And by the way, on that note of praying, don't forget to utilize the prayer chain. We haven't seen very many prayer requests coming in during this time, and know that your brothers and sisters here at Ledge Rock are waiting to pray for you and for your needs. So reach out to us. Go to the website, ledgerockchurch.com, and on there you can connect with us through emails, and we will see that an email goes out and that brothers and sisters all across the country will be praying for you and your needs. And know that we're continually looking at the situation and knowing or thinking about how it is that we can better connect together during these weird and crazy times. So know that all of us, we miss you, we miss each other, we miss getting together. And so I felt like after the celebration of Easter and looking at today and remembering who God is and what He's done, that Jesus commanded us to take bread and a cup and share it together in an intimate way and do that to remember Him and His body and blood that He gave as the ransom for our sins. And so one of the two ordinances that Jesus gave us is called the Lord's Supper. And so I want to take time today to do this to help us remember Him. It's one step in obedience. It's one step in celebrating Jesus and who He is and what He's done. So hopefully you've gotten your elements, your bread or cracker, your cereal, your donut. I don't think that a hot dog or a piece of pizza is perfect, but you know what? If that's all you've got, certainly grab it. Grab whatever you've got and as well as some sort of a drink and get those things ready. Now, know that, like I said earlier, the key to obedience to God is not our actions, it's our heart. The right actions with the wrong heart mean nothing. But the right heart and mixed up and sometimes messed up actions, God can work with that. So this time, as we take the Lord's Supper, it may not look like it normally does, but hopefully, in your setting where you're at, you're prepared mentally and physically, but even more importantly, spiritually, to remember Jesus and to bring worship and value to Him because of who He is and what He's done in your life. And it's like I said earlier, and what He's going to do in the future. because of just how great and mighty Jesus is. So go ahead and grab the elements. I've got my Cheerio here, just one small Cheerio. Again, it's not the Cheerio that's magic. It's remembering the magic of God and what he's done for us. So I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 26. And beginning in verse 26, this is Jesus in the upper room with his closest circle of friends, his disciples, as he shared with them the Passover meal and one final time explaining this bread and this cup that we're going to symbolically represent to them and to all of us in the future exactly who Jesus is and what he's done for us and then who we are in Christ. The scripture says that as they were eating, Jesus took the bread, he blessed and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take and eat, for this is my body." Father, I thank you for Jesus and for his body and for the ability to gather today and remember his body and the sacrifice that he willingly did on that rugged cross for you and I, for our sins. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and take your bread, your element. And the scripture goes on, and after the bread was passed and broken and blessed, Jesus took the cup then and he passed it around to the people. And he said, then he took the cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink from it, all of you." Father, thank you for this cup that we're about to take. Thank you for the symbolic representation of Jesus and the blood that was required for the forgiveness and the ransom of our sins. And I pray as we take this cup that you will instill in each of us a deeper remembrance on exactly who you are and what you have done. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and take your cup. All right, well, I hope that through this time of sharing God's word and sharing in the ordinance of the Lord's Supper, that perhaps you feel connected during these weird and difficult times for all of us. I want you to feel connected first and foremost with our Lord and Savior Jesus, and secondly with me, with your leadership here at Ledge Rock, and then ultimately with each other. We're gonna leave the live stream up for several more minutes, 5, 6, 7, whatever you guys need, we're gonna leave it up. So I would love to read your comments, how maybe the Lord spoke to you, or possibly what you're going to do different after having heard today's message. You know, you're going to not eat lunch. You're going to fast today so that you can better remember and share with others how great our God is. Let me tell you, he is glorified in that. He is richly exalted when you and I have a deeper level of remembrance and commitment. So, stay on, comment, say hello, words of encouragement to me, to each other. It's a valuable time. So thank you for joining us here at Ledge Rock today. Thank you for your willingness to serve and give during this time. And pray for Dick, pray for the surgeon, pray for the needs out there. Share your prayer requests. Know that I love you and miss you, and I cannot wait to get back together. Either way, take care, stay safe, and God bless you.